If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Name one thing guys want to see more than anything in the whole wide world.
We're going to go with boobs.
Yeah!
Show me boobs. There they are.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Here, kitty, kitty.
This is nuts. Just weighing in over here. This is bonkers.
And now.
I want you both to listen to me, okay? I know why you're here. So don't BS a BSer, okay? Your presence here, court ordered.
Why did you put presence in quotes? Implying that we're not here.
Our feature presentation.
I love that movie, Role Models. Underrated.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 25th of April. Stryker, tell people why you were laughing at Louis Anderson, because this happened at the end of the show yesterday.
Man.
I mean, I've lost it like this before as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the harder you laugh, the harder you continue to laugh. It just, you can't get out of it.
And the more I think about it.
I got to tell you, the visual, I didn't look it up yesterday, but I'm still dying to because I must see it.
The reason why I lost it, Ally McKay was doing What's Happening. Good morning, Ally.
Good morning.
And she mentioned that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
He's going to go again.
We
all sound funny. It sounds funny to all of us, I think.
It does. So I thought about the time.
Oh, my God.
It's happening again.
I thought about the time that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
You all right?
I thought. Hold on. God darn it. The visual is just so funny.
Are you doing good so far?
I'm sweating. I thought about the time that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Louis Anderson were on a diving show.
What was the name of the show?
Splash.
Yeah.
Why was Kareem, this NBA Hall of Famer, on a diving show? So Louis Anderson and Kareem were scheduled to do a synchronized dive.
Why were they doing a synchronized dive? That doesn't make sense either.
That's the question. So they've had all this time to practice. They put Louis and Kareem on this giant high dive. Again, they've had all the time to practice in the world. But it's like someone just like, all right, Kareem, boop, you flop over. Louis, you flop over. And it was the worst dive you've ever seen in your life.
It was not synchronized.
And when I just think about that, I laugh so much. Oh, man. So that's why I was laughing about that yesterday. That's in the 9 o'clock hour,
yeah.
And I couldn't stop. And when I got home and I thought about it, I'm crying right now. When I thought about it, I just started laughing by myself, and I couldn't contain myself.
You did text us the backwards, just a little clip of it.
It was a GIF.
Yeah. They practiced that, huh?
They practiced that. And it's just terrible. And I just think about Louis Anderson and Kareem together and how they had time to get it together. And
imagine the conversation between them. Imagine them just – every part of that is not right.
And I'm sure the producers of Splash are like, where were you 3 years ago when we did this show? It's a three-year delay here of the laughing.
We posted that video on the Instagram, Kevin and Bean Instagram, and at Kevin and Bean Twitter as well. But
me laughing, not the dive, right?
Stryker losing it. Yeah, we should put the dive up too.
Yeah. Well, I searched everywhere.
What? It doesn't exist.
All it is a GIF of them falling off the diving board.
It was enough. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
It is enough.
It's perfect.
Can we put up the GIF?
Sure.
In the next 8 minutes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that in just a minute.
Okay.
Why 8 minutes?
By the time I open the Red Bull, and I don't know. What?
In the next 8 minutes?
He's got a real tight schedule.
You're counting the seconds in the next 8 minutes? Let's see. I got 27 seconds for the Red Bull. Then I got to drink it. Let's see. I've got 6 minutes left. Yeah, we can put that up. Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Is it possible
that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
Always, yeah. Are you addicted to social media on today's program? The therapist that takes five people who are crazed about social media makes me feel like I'm the best in the world at it.
Yeah.
They can't put their phone down for 1 second. One of them says, I feel like I've lost a family member when they can't go on social
media. That's a sense of loss right there.
Right? Allie's friends were worried about at Weenie Rose, so we need to talk about that. Maybe we need to hire some extra security to follow them around.
Might be a good idea.
Does Kevin know?
Nope.
What is this, Allie?
Does Kevin know?
Yeah.
And you come up with some of the most brilliant responses.
Take it easy.
I feel like this one is going to be really easy for you. This is your chance to showcase what's up here in the noggin.
See, that's such BS.
It's not.
This is an opportunity for you.
It is. You can really shine,
all
Kevin.
Right.
If
take
you
it easy.
Take this and run with it,
mm-hmm.
this is your chance.
All right.
Is there a topic that you're going to be asking him about?
Sure is.
Do we need to know now or wait?
Nah.
Okay. So it's like Jeopardy, a subject.
Yeah, it's a subject that he should know.
Okay.
It's all stuff that stuff that we talked about on the show, and mm-hmm. so obviously I should know names of people and different things.
Sometimes, within an hour.
I mean, sometimes that happens. Yeah.
Got it.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
All right. how does the story end on this morning's program? Smallest deal breakers.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick Hexum from 311 talking about Back to the Beach Festival, which is this weekend. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Allie McKay is here. What's happening?
Meek Mill is a free man, everybody.
Yes, he is.
A free man. This whole story.
It's been bizarre.
Madness.
Yeah.
From the beginning. 2008, he was arrested on gun and drug possession charges. Seemed like for the past decade, kind of on the up and up, everything's fine. Then he was on a video shoot and he popped a wheelie. Good Lord, reckless driving. So he goes into court, which should have been like a routine. Dude, stop popping wheelies. That's
right.
You're on probation. The judge sentenced him to 4 years on a parole violation. No sense made whatsoever. Mm. Then there was talk, does this judge have a vendetta? Does the arresting officer have a vendetta? What is going on? Then rumor swirling of the judge wanting him to leave his label and sign with her management. And it was bonkers.
And didn't she want to be thanked in the
She wanted a shout out from boys to men. And like it, none of it was on the up and up. It should have been thrown out
along with the judge so long ago.
But this was all, back in November is when this started. And then this campaign to free
Meek Mill.
Free Meek started, and everyone's gone to visit him. He's good friends with one of the co-owners of the 76ers, Robert Kraft.
Yeah, the owner of the Patriots.
I can't with that. Bizarre. And then I think a couple days ago was when Kevin Hart went in, and then it kind of everything started to speed up. He's now out of jail. Like,
Is he a good dude or no, Alex?
Yeah, for the past 10 years, he hasn't done anything wrong except pop a wheelie. So it's all very bizarre how this all went. And it kind of speaks to the incarceration of people of color and whatnot. But I'll get off my soapbox on that one. He's out. And like most people, when they just get out of jail, they take a helicopter to a 76ers game.
Right.
That happened.
So that is what he
walked outside the jail, got in a helicopter.
Unreal.
So he's with all these men in prison.
Yes.
Terrible food. Sweaty people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He leaves there
mm-hmm.
and then has to shower in a place where there's all the men still right there. And he doesn't have... Did someone bring him clothes from his house? What underwear did he wear?
I don't have
How
the underwear.
How did he get his shirt? Like, what shoes? What
is that information? Do you have that,
not
Allie?
Here.
Not there.
Okay. I will look into it.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a whole timeline.
You'll give us an update later today.
Called Meek's friend, said, grab him his deodorant. I'll find out all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the last thing he was worried about was his underwear at that point. He was like, I am free. I'm going to go ring a bell at a game. I am a hero. Everything is great. Patriots. Wow. What? The New England Patriots tweet two pictures with Robert Kraft and Meek Mill, one in front of private jet, another one where Meek Mill is holding up one of the Patriots, I mean, many NFL rings. By the way, Meek Mill, huge Eagles fan, which just makes me laugh altogether. But they tweet these two pictures, and this is from the New England Patriots account. Justice for our friend, finally free. Like, come on,
I didn't hear Robert Kraft doing a lot of campaigning to get him free.
He actually did. He actually went to the prison, did all that. But what's happening, Robert Kraft? Like,
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
But I had to laugh. Patriots fans are the worst. I can say that. Underneath, like, all the comments, why didn't you do this for Aaron Hernandez? Whoa. Well, he didn't pop a wheelie. Murdered people.
Turns out that's a different case.
Allegedly.
Different person.
Oh, my God. Patriots fans, this is why everyone hates you. I can say that. It's like when people make fun of your brother.
Sure.
You can't. I can.
Right.
The Patriots are my brothers. But anyway, they tweeted all this stuff and then put Instagram posts, everything, all while Rob Gronkowski had said he's coming back. Like, this was the big announcement. I'm coming back to play with the Patriots. And I was like, anyone from social media want to post something about that?
Nope, tired of him.
Oh, it made me laugh so hard. So Meek Mill, he's free, y'all. He all is right. free. You guys going to go see Avengers Infinity War this weekend?
Yes, yes.
The debut might be an all-time high at the box office. The biggest opening of all time was in 2015 with Star Wars The Force Awakens. They rolled out a $248 million payday in 3 days. But Hollywood experts believe that Avengers Infinity War will probably make between $225 to $245 million.
And then,
but there's a thought that it could set the new record by pulling in more than $250
million. Wow.
I want a good movie.
Well, by all accounts, this is the best Marvel's movie ever.
That's saying
by
something.
A long shot,
really?
People are saying. Which, that's a mighty
That's a huge boast, yeah.
Boast.
Could you not think of the word boast?
I couldn't.
Okay. I'm here for you.
Thank you. Terrifying. But wow. I mean, if it pulls in $250 million, that's I'm going to come right out and say it. That is a lot of money, you guys.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
King of Mexico, you saw it last night? Who saw it?
I think
Dave. Yeah. Christina and I saw it last night.
And?
What do you want to know?
Best Marvel movie?
I'll tell
movie?
You everything. I'll spoil
nope.
it right
nope.
now.
No, you will
nope.
not.
No,
Dave.
Nope.
Was it, as people are saying, the best Marvel movie?
Listen, I'm not going to say it's the best Marvel movie, but I will say it is the greatest Marvel movie ever.
All right.
Ever.
Confused.
He's being funny, but it is the greatest Marvel movie
He's
ever.
Not being funny.
Ever.
All right.
I don't follow that the Marvel movies.
The genre.
World. So what are what are the other great ones if I was going to watch a few of them?
I mean, there's so many. The Iron Mans are great.
I've
the
seen
other
Iron
Avengers
Man. I do
great.
Like Iron Man. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're all great.
They're all great.
Black Panther was great,
Black
for God's sake.
Black Panther. Sakes. Fantastic. The Iron Man.
Just said that.
Thor.
Thor, right?
Is that the guy with
incredible.
The hammer?
He's got a
around?
Hammer.
He's got a good body and surfs and
great
has a hammer.
Body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you not seen most of those?
Hulk.
No.
Striker? You
no,
haven't?
I have not.
Do you not like superhero
Spider-Man?
Movies?
Spider-Man?
It's not that I don't
We're not listing
like them
anymore. We're talking to
Bucky.
It's not that you don't like them.
They're just not on my radar for some reason. And I know it's pop culture, and I know I probably should be seeing them, but for some reason, from when I was a little kid up until now, when I'm not a little kid, those kind of movies are not on my radar.
Wow.
And it's not that I'm going to art house movies, because those aren't either.
Right.
It's something in between
all
those.
Well, you should see this weekend.
You're right.
Because it's great.
Yeah, you're right.
This is why you fail.
Oh, Yoda, that wasn't.
Right?
You've
fail
at
I
least
not.
Seen all the Star Wars
I'm
movies.
Sorry?
Star Wars, I have.
Yes, I've seen the Star Wars
what?
Movies.
No.
Were you doing Yoda?
No, I was
what
doing Grover.
Was that?
From, I was doing Ray Romano and Grover.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Nailed it then.
Thank you.
Thank
you have seen all the Star Wars.
Yes,
okay,
I
fine.
Love those.
All right,
yes.
I'm going to give you a pass.
Okay, thank you.
Some birthdays for you. Al Pacino, Jason Lee, Renee Zellweger. Kevin's best friend, Joe Buck. And Hank Azaria.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Nick Hexum from 311 coming in the studio to talk back to the Beach Festival, which is this weekend already. Hard to imagine. There was a show on the BBC, and it was highlighting social media addicts. And I don't think any of us are addicts.
No.
Did you say you are a Straker?
I am not.
Allie?
No. But Twitter I enjoy, but like I go to it for, you know, news and breaking stories and stuff like that. I mean, I could stop anytime.
I don't know, but
that's
I have
what
a tough
these people
time.
All said.
Kevin and Allie, sometimes I do get in the zone, mm-hmm. in the social media zone. Either I post something or I'm bored at home.
Okay.
I pause the TV. I'm like, I'm going to go look at my phone, go on the laptop. And I scan and I scan and I click a link that someone posts and I go to that.
And then it's
I
a
go
rabbit
back
hole.
And then I refresh and I'm like, for an hour and 30 minutes, I'm sitting on the edge of the chair doing this and my neck hurts.
Wow.
And that is bad. And then I'm like, oh, what am I doing? I got to get out of this. But
then you can.
I can, but I find
it
very similar to people that play slot machines. Mm-hmm. You get locked in.
Right.
And you're just like...
Just one more.
Yeah. Just let me look. One more refresh.
Interesting.
There's a group of people that are all meeting with a therapist because they are really addicted to social media.
It's like a mother having a newborn baby. You don't just leave the baby. You take the baby with you wherever you go.
I just like to tell people what I'm doing. I don't know. Just... when I go to the toilet, you know, whatever I'm doing, you know, it's interesting, whatever I do. So I just post it.
Could I just say it's not interesting? Let us know that you're going to the bathroom.
That's so much.
Toilet. That's not interesting.
If Instagram was taken away, I would absolutely find it earth shattering.
I won't even get up out of bed. I won't eat. I won't go wash. I will just stay there in my pit on my phone for the whole day.
I use Facebook to avoid having sex with my husband.
With my husband, she's laughing, saying...
Oh, her husband's not laughing.
Yeah, we'll hear from him in a minute. He's got a glass eye, too. All right, not that that's important. So then the therapist explains to them how social media can become that kind of thing.
People get a dopamine hit when they use social media. Some people, for whatever reason, are more susceptible to this than others, but it means that social media is now a massive form of addiction for many people.
So these people she's talking to are truly addicted.
Yeah.
And she asked that guy that says he doesn't get out of bed, and he said, how long when you go out to dinner with a friend before you check your phone? He said seconds. And that he's lost friends and family members don't talk to him anymore because he spends so much time on social media. So she says... give me all of your phones. Oh, there's also a woman who is very clear that it's her boobs that everybody loves. She's got big fake breasts. So she's like, I know that's why they love me, but I just can't. I get the likes. I just sit there and watch while the likes come in.
Oh, for her pictures.
Yes.
Okay.
So she says, give me your phones and stay off social media for 7 days.
Oh, my God. Her boobs deflated.
Right? So what? She actually gives them one last chance to say, post something saying you're going to be gone, and then give me your phones. And she changes all of the passwords for all of their social media, and they have to stay off social media for 7 days.
Oh, wow.
So after 3 days, they're all saying different variations of, I feel like I lost a loved one.
Oh.
There's a huge feeling of loss. I mean, this is straight crazy, people. And the girl, remember her saying that she was avoiding sex with her husband?
Yeah.
This is 3 days in, after 3 days of giving up social media.
We haven't had sex yet, but it's only been a couple of days, so give me a chance.
We haven't had sex yet, but it's only been a couple of days.
Wow.
So give me a chance.
I mean, what else is she doing?
Right?
If she was addicted to Facebook, obviously she wants to... do something else.
Right. She does not want to have...
on his face. What? I don't know. I'm just saying. Come on, lady.
Indie face.
Here's her husband.
If she carries on with it, it's going to save her marriage. If she doesn't carry on with it, then it's going to be goodbye, Charlie. You know what I mean? Bye-bye. I'm gone.
So he's ready to leave over this because she hasn't had sex with him in a long time. She doesn't pay attention to him at all.
That is serious.
The woman with the fake breasts... has a family.
Do you know her screen name?
No, I don't.
Okay, sorry.
But she has a family, which I was surprised because when they were earlier in the doing interviews, they're like, oh, yeah, every second of every day I spend. How do you have kids and do that? So now she starts talking about what she's doing with her free time now that she's not on social media.
I'd done everything. I was really busy through the day with the kids. You know, I went cinema. You know, I spent loads of time with the children. But then when I'd done everything... it was like, what do I do now?
She literally 3 days in just like, I don't know how to act.
Right.
I spent time with my kids. Which,
now what?
And by the way, their kids loved it because she's been gone for a long time. And now I don't know what to do with myself.
Oh, dear.
Crazy, right? After 5 days, the guy who sits in his bed all day and doesn't clean himself up or anything
stays. Just sits in his pit, he said?
This is what's happening with him.
I've got much more motivation. I've been doing things, getting out of bed, showering every day, which is an absolute miracle.
Okay, showering every day.
Good Lord,
is an absolute miracle.
Oh, no.
What's happening? So now the married couple is sitting down after 7 days, and they're having a conversation about having sex and having even being able to make conversation with each other because they're so used to not doing that.
Now you're probably lost for words.
I am. I don't know what to say to you.
To be honest with you, I am proud of you for actually sticking it out this long.
I'm proud of myself as well. You're going to get lucky tonight. You should be happy.
I am happy.
Because I ain't got nothing to do. I can't go on
good.
My phone.
Oh, don't ruin it. She says you're going to get lucky tonight, only because I can't go on my phone.
Oh, God.
I don't have another option, so I guess we're going to do it. The guy who couldn't shower and get out of bed after 7 days.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Since I've stopped being on social media, I've had a much better work ethic. And been working harder.
I just can't believe how well I've coped with not checking how many likes I've got, checking how many followers I've gained, not posting.
I've actually slept better. I've just been falling asleep and going to sleep and waking up and I'm just like, cool, I feel kind of free.
Feels free. They're sleeping for the first time in years.
Wow.
Crazy.
I feel bad for the guy with the wife, not because they're not having sex, but He feels like he's lost the connection verbally to her.
Agreed,
And he's got no attention, no nothing.
He said you're at a loss for words.
Yes.
You never talk to me. That is very sad.
So, Boob Woman.
Yes. Still looking for a screen name.
After 7 days, says that she really, really loves her life. She's spending time with her kids. They love it.
Just weekends. I will definitely take off of work.
So, she's going to take off work, she calls social media. She's going to take off weekends so that she can spend time with her family.
Wait, social media is what she called
work?
For
her, yeah. I think she does get money from it.
Okay.
Somehow. She's on it 12 hours a day.
Because it's bloody amazing. I wish I'd done it sooner. You know, it's made me a lot calmer as a person. And it's given the children the kind of mom that they've always wanted.
How about that? The only guy left to find out what happened after 7 days is the guy that stayed in his bed.
Yeah.
All day. And didn't shower. And when he did shower, it was a miracle. How did he do after a week?
So I just completed my 7-day social media challenge. And guess what? I completed it. And guess what? I'm back. And guess what? I've missed you so, so much. I've missed you so bloody much. I'm back now. And life can just go on now because I'm here.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. He's back full time.
Fist pump into that music bed in the background.
How can you not? Yeah. Was it a therapist?
It was a therapist, yeah.
She thinks this is a legit addiction.
Yes, because the dopamine hits you get from the likes and whatever. Yeah. It's a real thing.
Incredible.
So I don't think we're this far yet, but we're getting.
But these sites, all these social media sites are designed to keep you there. It's not by accident that we like scrolling.
Yeah.
It's the way they're presented that locks us in for 1 minute, 2 minutes. And their goal, obviously, whoever creates the app, is to keep you there. The longer we're there, the more money they're going to make in the long run.
And I would like to just suggest if it's taking the place of showering, maybe you have a problem.
Showering, sex, and getting to know your children.
Those things should all happen.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. We were talking about Weenie Roast, 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast, Saturday, May 12th at StubHub Center with Blink-182 and Panic at the Disco and Rise Against, Dirty Heads, Mike Shinoda, Cold War Kids, The War on Drugs, AWOL Nation, Bishop Briggs, Alice Merton, Manchester Orchestra, James Bay, Nothing But Thieves, and Mount Joy. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great day. And tickets go on sale Friday at 10. You can find all the details at krock.com. Now, Allie, you tried to give your friends a head up, but you couldn't give them any information.
Yeah, I just said to my friends, we'll call them Steph and Jenna.
because those are their names?
Those are their names, indeed. I just texted both of them and said, hey, just leave May 12th open. Just left it at that.
Nothing
and then
else.
Instantly, when are you announcing Weenie Roast? What's happening? What's going on? Da-da. Here's why. Because these two are insane Panic at the Disco fans. Love Brendan Urie. They've wanted to get matching tattoos forever. They love him. So I just wanted to
put
it out there.
Let's just back up. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get matching tattoos?
Yeah. You know, when you love someone, like Brendan Urie, and your friend loves someone like Brendan Urie,
you both
you're like,
this...
we should both get matching tattoos. Yeah, that's
your
what
friends
they were
are
into.
Crazy.
Listen, I thought they just really liked Brendan Urie a lot, and
right.
I was super excited.
And who could blame him?
Yeah,
he's a great
who can blame him?
Yeah.
He's amazing. He'll do a backflip off of the piano. He's wonderful. Until we announced Sweeney,
mm-hmm.
and then the group texts just started coming in at a furious rate.
So super happy about Panic.
Super stoked about Panic. They didn't know who else would be performing, obviously.
Right.
Because no one did. And here's where it gets weird. This is Steph, where she's talking about if she could possibly meet Brendan Urie.
By the way, right now, so far, no.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So far, we're going to have security.
Okay.
Surrounding your friends at all times.
Yellow-jacketed men will mm-hmm. be surrounding.
They'll build a wall around Stephanie.
Okay. So Steph says, honestly, if I saw him, I might cry, but I also think I'd be cool. And then she writes, can you do both?
No.
But if I saw Mark Hoppus, I would cry for sure. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Hadn't heard anything about Mark Hoppus yet. So then she says, I mean, Brendan, I'm also attracted to, so it feels like under pressure I could act normal, but Mark is my lifetime idol.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? What?
So they didn't bring up Blink 182 first.
At all.
They brought up Panic.
At
okay.
all. To which Jenna then says, oh my God, can I show Mark my fan art? What? And I just start
art.
With the expletives. Holy what have I done? What's happening? And then the picture comes through, and it is Blink 182 fan art. And she said, we had to paint our heroes in eighth grade. Most people picked Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan. I picked Blink 182.
All right. Like, that's creepy.
Oh, my God. Just dying, right? And I said, Jenna, I need to post this picture. Her response? You may if you'd like. I'm not ashamed of my passion. All right. So my friends are nuts, and I'm thinking, okay, this is amazing. And then Steph one-ups it. I'll have to get some song lyrics out of my Atticus journals.
Wow.
Okay. So I kind of leave it at that, and then they start talking tattoos again, whatnot. And then it turns to, okay, Jenna, we need to make outfits. This is Steph.
We need to make outfits.
This is Steph's outfit. Mine will be Brendan Urie riding a hot dog rocket ship, but my face is on it, like the woman on the front of a pirate ship. Let me repeat that.
That's awesome.
Mine will be Brendan Urie riding a hot dog rocket ship, but my face is on it like the front of a pirate ship.
That's awesome.
Yes. What is happening?
Are these women, do they have time on their hands? Are they working women?
These are women with really, really, really good jobs.
This makes me happy
really
hearing this,
great
by the way.
Social lives. These are not women sitting at home, like, just petting a cat, like, I wish I could meet Brendan. Right. These are accomplished women.
So when she says she's going to dress like that, is that the artwork
she's
on a
gonna
shirt?
She's going to make a shirt.
Okay.
And then she said, oh, my God, I need to find my seventh grade essays. I failed because I said I was going to join Blink 182 and then go to Harvard Law, but somehow they would still operate without me. Okay, what's happening? And then Steph says, it was the first concert I ever saw. My sister made out with someone, so he would put me on his shoulders. I was fat and 13. She must have been a good kisser. Oh, my God. So these are my friends that are going to the show.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to the show? Have we decided
feel
that completely?
Like
I mean, you could get them in, but you could also, quote, have trouble getting them in.
No, I gotta get them in.
Do you, though?
A little bit. Just to, honestly, this is what I want now. Because they're talking a good game.
Right, sure. You think they'll fall apart?
If they were to meet Mark Hoppus,
yeah, let's not,
I feel like they would just clam up and be like, hi, Mark.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Nope, no need for a picture. Or they would hump his leg.
Right, in which case, by the way, Mark would probably play along.
He'd find it funny. Absolutely.
So they're coming to Weenie Roast.
They're coming to Weenie Roast. They are.
Can we have security keep eyes on them?
I don't know if it's necessary.
Sniper on the building?
No,
the
need, no need to kill him.
No, trank dart.
Just tranquilize.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they see him making a run for the stage. Your friend's out. No. Nope.
Why do you want to kill my friend?
I don't. A trank dart.
Okay. Oh,
right
there. I think that that Jen and Steph will be fine.
And you're basing that on?
I'm not sitting with them.
Okay. Now, Now that's how you wake up in the morning right there.
That's right.
Rage Against the Machine on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Just after the top of the hour, I'm going to introduce you to a new band called Brass Against the Machine.
Yes.
It's pretty strong. And then later on, we've got Nick Hexum from 311 talking Back to the Beach, which is this weekend. First, Allie is here. What's happening?
What's happening is Stryker and I are freaking out.
Yes, you are, both.
When I see Golden State Killer as a trend in the U.S. on Twitter, I freak. When I find out that they possibly have the Golden State Killer in custody, also known as the original Night Stalker and the East Area Rapist. We're going to get into this later, can we?
Sure.
Can we discuss Stryker?
Yeah, definitely. This is the story that Patton Oswalt's wife, who passed away,
Michelle
spent
McNamara.
Years investigating and wrote a book about it. Didn't finish it completely. The book is out. They ended up finishing it for her.
Yes.
But Allie just said, we'll talk about it more.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to have to add a new ending to it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Her book, I'll Be Gone Before Dark, is phenomenal. But this was like her life's passion, her life work as a true crime kind of, like, she was just a kind of a fangirl type of thing at the beginning. And then she got so good at it and started getting these breaks and leads that law enforcement was like, excuse me, Mr. McNamara,
can you help us?
Can I jump in here too? Like, unbelievable. You guys, I am freaking out.
This guy murdered at least 12 people.
Raped at least 50.
45, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I just need to know if he's also Mr. Cruel in Australia. We're going to get into it later.
What's happening, Allie?
Well, life is beautiful, you guys. It's happening. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. Of course, this happens in Las Vegas, yay! September 21st through the 23rd. The Weeknd, Arcade Fire, Florence and the Machine, Travis Scott, Bastille, Foster the People, Churches.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
No, not this year. Death Cab for Cutie, N.E.R.D., Tyler the Creator. Amazing, amazing event.
I feel like perhaps a trip to Vegas is in order.
Okay.
I agree with you on this.
Right?
Yes.
I feel what you're putting down and I'm picking it up.
Okay.
What? Not sure. Yeah, let's go.
This is where we need to have a K-Rock house, a suite or something there.
Let's work on that.
Yeah.
Let's work on that.
We should.
There's a lot of great artists
just
this.
Take the janky van and people can just come in and hang out for a while. That's all.
I mean,
is that not our first choice?
He was saying sweet, like in a nice hotel, and then you're like, people can hang out in our van. Kevin, that was a real downgrade.
I'm saying, though, we've worked here long enough to know that that's most likely the way it'll go.
Yeah.
But we'll try.
We'll get, like, nice curtains and stuff and a beanbag.
I don't care so much about other people as I do myself on this one.
Okay. All right. I get it.
I'm excited to go to that show.
Yeah, right. ABC has ordered a new reality dating show from the guy that created The Bachelor. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's going to be hosted, by the way, by Jesse Palmer, who was the NFL quarterback and Bachelor Season 5 contestant. This show, it's 10 eligible daters. They attempt to woo a mystery suitor or suitress with their words in a first impressions round. Then they bare their souls in a beachwear round. Then they answer the mystery suitors.
I'm sorry, they bare their what?
Their boobs and
their souls?
Their wheeze. Yeah. It's a swimsuit competition during that round. And then they answer the mystery suitor's most pressing romantic questions. And they strive to receive a seal of approval from the mystery suitor's most trusted family member in the final round.
So they don't ever see or meet the person that's...
Oh, did I mention the daters will never see the suitor's face? Plot twist! Oh, but a face. What happens at the end
that
when you're just
awesome.
Like, oh my God, I love your personality. What a hot body. Oh, good God.
So it's kind of like The Voice meets the old Miss America pageant.
A little bit, yeah.
Meets The Dating Game.
Sure.
A little bit,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But it's just like The Dating Game.
Yeah, until two are left with the suitor and they finally are presented with their identity, which could potentially lead to a marriage proposal. I mean, that's a...
What?
They're calling it the proposal. Why not just call it, I can't see your face. Are you janky? Maybe that's just too long. I don't know.
FX next season. The FX network.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the
how
new
much
fall
do you know
season.
About this?
No, I don't know anything.
Please, what's happening?
It's weird because I started with ABC has ordered a new reality dating show, and I'm like, really? Why would they do it on FX?
I don't know.
You're a liar.
Well, because
you're
you
a
said
lying liar should... who lies. Do not sully FX with this. They bring us Atlanta. Yeah, they bring us baskets.
No,
they bring
us better things. I can think
do
of because I watched that one, Allie. That's the only one I know. I was going to say the Spike Network, but that's gone.
Yeah, that is it gone. Is.
Yeah.
What is it now?
Paramount
Network. Yeah.
Paramount.
No, yeah. It is on ABC.
Also known as the John Taffer Network. It's the only original show on there, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
We just had him on Bar Rescue, dude.
We did.
Yeah. He and Kevin exchanged numbers to hang out at Vegas for a game. You guys became like instant hockey buds.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Vegas hockey fan.
Yeah.
So Golden Knights, but then you know the playoffs didn't go quite as well as we had intended as an LA Kings fan. So
that may be a while. Why I bring that up? Yes. Because Kevin has these bromances during the show. The last bromance that was it was beautiful to witness.
I just get along with people.
But you get along with people to the point where they're like, hey, let's exchange numbers. Let's hang out. You rarely see that with dudes, and I think it's beautiful. The last one I saw before Mr. Tapper.
Right.
Taffer?
Taffer, yeah.
We'll see. Jake Tapper's coming on. We'll see how that goes. Was Mr. Joe Buck.
Whoa.
They had a really lovely chat.
He seems like a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah.
We occasionally text, and Allie likes to make fun of me, which is what she's doing now under the guise of saying it's beautiful. She's mocking me.
He will straight text him in the middle of a Major League Baseball playoff game and be like, sup, what are you doing? Just to mess with him.
He was calling the World Series, and I just texted him like in the sixth inning. Hey, what are you doing? And he had a tremendous amount of time to get back to because it's baseball. Oh, nothing's happening.
Good Lord, I love it so much. Well, I bring that up because it is Joe Buck's birthday. Mm. You going to send him a text?
I mean, I will now. I feel like pressured.
Yeah.
Excellent. Also, actress Renee Zellweger, Jason Lee, Al Pacino, and Hank Azaria. You guys watching Brockmire speaking of baseball?
Not this season.
Oh, my God.
I know. I loved it so much.
On IFC. It is so good. And that's what's happening.
On the way, how does the story end? We've also got Nick Hexum from 311.
Yeah. Excellent. Back to the beach this weekend.
Yep. Very excited about that. First, Rage Against the Machine isn't exactly working together. I mean, there's Prophets of Rage, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Love Be Real. Love Chuck D. But it's not Rage Against the Machine. Mm-hmm. And I found a weird group that is Brass Against the Machine. And they've got all kinds of trumpets and trombones and everything else.
Wow.
And they have a female singer, lead singer. And at first I was like, please, don't even come at me with anything that's not Rage. And then I thought, wow, this isn't terrible.
Right.
This is Brass Against the Machine, and they're doing Sleep Now in the Fire.
So raise your fists and march around, don't dare take what you need. I'll tell and bury those committed and smother the rest in greed. Crawl with me into tomorrow, I'll drag you to your grave. I'm deep inside your children, don't betray you in my name.
I mean, when you see trumpets and trombones, you go, I'm not sure I'm down with that.
That's right.
Well, you guys like that?
I do.
Absolutely. I wonder, though, if they will put on their next album, wow, this isn't terrible. Kevin Ryder, K-Rock.
I mean, it's not terrible when you compare it with the real band, which I've never really been able to say before.
Dare I say that was awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing cooler when there are humans out there who take instruments that may be stereotypically not cool, at least not cool when you're a kid.
Correct.
And they turn them into the coolest sounding Rage Against the Machine songs.
Right.
And I've seen the video Kevin is talking about. They're dressed in these white jumpsuits with the sleeves rolled up.
That doesn't help.
But maybe somewhere there's a kid playing the tuba that feels shame.
Correct.
Don't.
Maybe one day you could be in Brass Against the Machine playing Killing in the Name.
And I could do what they told you. And I could do what they told you. And I could do what they told you.
Come on.
Right?
What's happening?
And she is cute as a button.
Right?
I know that's not the point of this whole thing.
That's the most important part.
She is adorable.
This is, I want you to listen to the trombone, though. He may be getting carried away.
Don't you die. I'm justified for wearing the badge and the chosen white. You justify those that die for wearing the badge and the chosen white.
They need to pull him aside and go, dude, easy on the trombone.
Come on.
Mom and Dad, I'm getting married. I know I'm 24. You've been wanting a wedding for me for a long time. I'm going to book the band.
Right.
You said I couldn't have a DJ at the wedding.
You wouldn't recognize the name anyway.
Right. They're called Brass Against the Machine. We're going to bring them in. Grandma's going to love them. Your college friends that are flying in. It's going to be great.
And then Grandma's sitting in the front row while this comes on.
It's a spectacle. Monopolize. Behold the rings. Show your eyes. All the fists of guns. The bullets and bombs. Who stuff the banks? Who stamp the party ranks? More for gore. All the son of a drug lord. None of the above. Fuck it. Cut the cord. Yeah. Lights out. Gorilla radio.
Right?
Time is up. Lights out. Gorilla radio. Time is up. Lights out. Gorilla radio.
I mean, come
on.
Can
we do a breakfast with? Can we? Where are they from? Do we know?
New York, I think. I think they're from New York, yeah.
Please come to L.A. and play for us.
Can you just see them with Grandma sitting in the front row in the trombone? Oh. They'll take turns, like, coming up to Grandma and right in her face.
Like, I thought it would be like Glenn Miller.
Yes. It's called Brass Against the Machine, and it's fantastic.
Wow.
What a surprise. Allie and Stryker, you are doing a deep dive on this story.
Well, I had done a deep dive long before because, you know, my obsession with true crime.
Murder.
And murder stories. And when Michelle McNamara's book came out, All Be Gone in the Dark, which she, as most people know, is Patton Oswalt's late wife. This was like her obsession, her compulsion, finding out everything she could about what was known originally as the original Night Stalker, then the East Area Rapist, and then she coined the Golden State Killer. And it became her life's work
to figure out
this cold case that people just had kind of left and didn't really know what was going to happen, because I think it was 1986 is when it all kind of stopped.
That's right. It started in the mid-70s, Kevin. Pretty much stopped in 86.
Wow,
and it
was so for 10 years?
It's the next year, according to what I am reading, is then the guy moved to Australia.
Okay, so left the Golden State.
Yes.
Yeah. But in that time, he murdered at least 12, raped possibly 50.
Wow.
And his MO was terrifying. This guy would basically stalk his prey for weeks ahead of time, find out when they went to work, when they were home, when their husbands left, would stay outside of their house, then would make phone calls to them, sometimes asking, one was like, is Ray there? No, you've got the wrong number, just to see if they were home.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes would break into their house ahead of time, leave literature that they would find later after he had come back.
That's so frightening.
To rape them.
So crazy. Yeah. Kevin, a couple of the things that he did, and this just, it's so disturbing and so crazy. During the attacks, he would pause. He would take his time. He was very, very meticulous. As Ali said, he would target his victims. He liked in the beginning to target single women.
Mm-hmm.
He then went to couples. But when he would get into the couple's house, he would wake them up in the middle of the night with a flashlight and a gun. He would tie up the man in one room and stack dishes on his back. And he would say, if these dishes fall off you while I'm doing the worst things in the world to your partner in the other room, I'm going to kill everyone in this house. Sometimes, Kevin, he would pretend like he would leave and he would say, make no noise. If you make noise, I'm going to kill you. He would sit for a long time.
Would he open the door and close it so
they would
think
he
left?
They would think he was gone.
But he was so, so quiet.
Wow.
This gentleman's name that they arrested is Joseph James D'Angelo, and since this happened in the 70s and the 80s, this guy is no young man now.
Right.
72
years old, arrested overnight And as Ali said, could be the break in the case for decades based on Michelle McNamara's book.
So he was arrested last night.
Yes, last night.
So this guy, I haven't looked into this guy that they arrested, but you're saying that he did move to Australia?
He did move to Australia.
And that was the big tie-in that they were trying to figure out with Australian authorities a little while ago, if he was also what was known as Mr. Cruel in Australia, who would – the only difference was this guy's MO was he would kidnap his victims, and they tended to be – a lot younger than his victims in Northern California. But if this is the same guy, holy crap. And I said to Stryker when I first saw it trending, Golden State Killer, I'm like, holy crap, if they found him. Because my thought years ago when I first saw something, because, you know, me and Dateline and murder stuff, I was like, this guy's in law enforcement. He has
that was
to.
Your
He's
first...
always one step ahead of the game. There's something that just told me there's something. And you were saying Stryker?
Yeah, so I'm gathering up this information as we're doing the morning show here. And apparently this guy was in law enforcement. And while he was arrested for shoplifting dog repellent and a hammer. And instead of just, oh, I'm going to fight this, he just decided, okay, you got me. And he left law enforcement.
Wow. Because he stole a hammer?
Yeah.
Well, probably because he was a complete and utter sociopath that had plans to kill.
Also, some of his DNA, according to everything I'm reading right now, has been linked to crimes in Southern California.
Yeah, not Ventura just Northern. County.
Correct, Allie. Mm. Yes.
You guys, this is huge.
This is huge.
This is huge.
This is something my wife and I, she knows, she's read the book like you, Allie, and she loves the murder stuff and true crime. And so I'm kind of into it as well. And this is something that we're like, do you think they'll ever catch this guy? No, he could be dead. Maybe he's already in the system.
Right.
Maybe somebody killed him breaking it. You never know.
I mean, if the last time we heard from him was, what did you say, 86?
Right, Kevin.
I would assume that person is dead or already caught someplace.
Yeah.
Michelle McNamara, God bless her, rest in peace. The work that her and her team did, that, I mean, cops were like, wait, how did you figure that? Wait, what? And then they kind of all bonded together and it became, you open up a cold case because of this.
Wow.
And she unfortunately is gone and can't see what all the work that she did possibly led to this guy's arrest. I think they're having a news conference today at noon up in Sacramento.
They are. And Patton Oswalt, he's on his Twitter is going crazy because, I mean, this was his late wife and he was very invested in her project because she was so dedicated. And he is, you can see his excitement and curiosity just going through his Twitter feed right now.
Yeah, imagine something happening that's totally fulfills everything his ex-wife was doing, his late wife, I'm sorry, was doing. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was her. Imagine being so obsessed with something, and then it just becomes your life. And you write a book, you get every lead, you get all of that, and to now know this is possibly going to be solved, that is magic. This whole thing is just incredible. And by the way, this mofo would then call his victims years later and say things like, oh, remember when we used to play?
Oh,
like, terrifying. Dear God. This guy continued to, it's bad enough that this has happened to you, but then to continue to torture you mentally years later. This guy is a special kind of sick.
Wow.
And, you know, his victims, obviously the ones he didn't murder, but that he raped and just horrible, horrible crimes, are still alive and following.
Yeah.
And one of his victims, named Jane Sandler from Sun City, she's been in touch with agents over the years via email. And so they emailed her. She just found out this morning. She said she's overwhelmed with joy. She's been crying. She's been sobbing.
Oh, man. My God.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine. This is huge, you guys.
And it probably wouldn't, my guess is, wouldn't have been solved if it really is without her work in the book.
It would still be a cold case.
No one would even be looking into it at all.
Nobody would even care
about this. Yeah.
Unbelievable. If you haven't gotten the book, it's I'll Be Gone in the Dark, Michelle McNamara. I will say this, don't get the audio version if you scare easily.
Oh, no.
Because goddamn.
Do we have that voicemail that he left?
We do. Do we have to play
it? Hold on. Should we do it, Allie?
No.
It's kind of creepy.
If you want to look into it, look into it. But I don't think we should freak people out driving to work right now.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly.
All right.
Yeah. It's very ugly, I should say.
This whole segment hasn't been a real uplifting.
Name of the book one more time.
Name of the book, Michelle McNamara, I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
A little bit later on this morning, Nick Hexum from 311 talking Back to the Beach Festival, which is this weekend. And it sounds like such a great time.
Great time.
It's time for How Does the Story End?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
All right, there are about three different places where I'm going to ask you how the story ends.
All right.
And then I'll play it for you. We can compare how you did. Here's the story.
I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you.
And neither could police. Officers found 68-year-old George Curtis.
How does the story end?
Officers found George Curtis.
Pleasing himself in his car.
I'm going to say mowing his lawn.
Inside of his home on Burgundy Street.
Dead.
Oh.
Inside of his home.
Okay.
In Warren, Monday morning, they were conducting a welfare check at his relatives' behest. They had not seen or heard from Curtis in months.
Relatives came over yesterday wanting to try and get in touch with him because his sister was ill or something like that. So my husband talked to him. They went over there and knocked around and didn't see anything. And he suggested going to the police.
And police found the man in his bed, his body badly decomposed. Sources tell me he may have been dead.
How does the story end?
If his family hadn't heard from him in months,
yes,
there is no telling. I'm going to say he badly decomposed. 8 months.
Stryker?
I'm going to say the 68-year-old who has been dead for 13 months.
For months, possibly a year.
The dude had been dead possibly a year.
Oh, wow. Nobody liked him.
Right?
How did nobody notice he just wasn't around?
For a year.
For a year.
The woman living with him did not.
What?
The woman living with him did not.
Did not report his death to police, obviously. She had to know he was there.
I'm going to say, did not leave her PlayStation 3 because she was addicted to the new video game that came out.
Notify authorities or...
How does the story end?
Didn't notify authorities or... There's two things she didn't do.
Okay, she obviously didn't notify the authorities.
Right.
Or... Move the man from... his bedroom.
Or notice he was dead.
Notice he was dead after a year?
He didn't talk a lot.
She didn't...
Move out.
Didn't move out!
Oh, my God.
She didn't move out!
My
Rent's
God.
Expensive, man.
What?
You get some free rent, you live with a dead man.
Wait.
She didn't move out.
Wait. She just closed the door and was like, nope, that's Joe's room. Don't go in there.
Yes. Kevin. Wait till you hear the neighbors describe what it was like inside the house.
My wife was telling me how bad it smelled in there. I'm not sure how how you could breathe in there.
Police took the woman living with Curtis to a hospital for a mental evaluation. In the meantime, they're waiting for the medical examiner to determine how the man died.
Isn't that insane? Yeah. She lived with a dude who was dead for a year. Do you think she was, like, cashing welfare checks or something? Some kind of
possibly.
Retirement or who knows?
Yeah. Living in that stench. Like
right.
That.
Getting that's worse and worse.
Oh. Wow. And where was this?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Was not in Southern California, if that's what you're worried about.
No, I was wondering, disgustingly, I was wondering about weather. And
weather.
How
oh,
hot
I see.
It would get.
Yeah, that would have made a lot worse. Yeah. Here's one of the neighbors, and I'm going to have to disagree strongly with one of the neighbors.
Strange world we live in. That's all I can say.
Right?
You know, it happens everywhere, right?
No,
it doesn't. What, sir? Where's he hanging out?
It doesn't happen everywhere. Please.
That's how the story ends.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. Allie McKay is here with What's Happening.
Why?
Why?
Thank you. That's it.
No context?
All right, a little bit. Why do people like Omar and Stryker exist?
Why?
That get so excited about shows like Jersey Shore, Family Vacation.
Oh, very excited.
And then we're inundated with more crap because you effers are watching these shows and making them trend, making them think there's a huge audience for them.
I mean, there is a huge audience for them.
That's most of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of Jersey Shore, Family Vacation, you're in luck. MTV says they're putting out four more reality shows to round out their Thursday night lineup. You ready for these?
Yes.
Two of the new series will be set in Middle America, Decatur, Indiana, and Pike County, Kentucky.
Okay.
First one, based in Indiana, is called Too Stupid to Die. And, yeah. It's about the antics of daredevil Zach Holmes and his five young guy friends and one girl who are part of his circle of friends. The other one, Made in Kentucky. It's about six young men and women finishing high school trying to figure out the next steps in their life.
Hmm. So it's like Jackass Rebirth.
I feel like Too Stupid to Die got ripped off in the name category.
Yeah, I feel like that too. However, there's also Staten Island 10310, which I assume is the zip code. And then this one. This is a show that challenges couples, friends, and family members to design tattoos for one another, and it is called Just the Tattoo of Us. Respect it. I might tune in just because you are awful and you called it Just the Tattoo of Us. Oh, it is so good.
Allie, do you think they're doing all these shows because there are a lot more eyeballs, at least I think there are, on MTV since Jersey Shore
Absolutely.
Is brought back? Like, okay, we have eyeballs here.
For sure.
Let's get something besides reruns of Martin on the air.
For sure. If you were going to put on Made in Kentucky out of nowhere, no one's tuning in for Made in Kentucky. But
yeah,
if
true.
It comes on before Jersey Shore, Family Vacation.
Right. I may like some of the people on
Absolutely.
Made in Kentucky.
Absolutely.
And knowing my TV watching history, I'll probably check out Made in Kentucky.
Yes, you will.
I
have to report on all three of them.
I would love to do that.
I'm all in on Just the Tattoo of Us.
Just the Tattoo of Us.
You
we
and
can
I.
Like it if you try.
And Make It is the tattoo that they're designing.
There
oh, we have written
See?
A theme song.
Wow.
Good times, you guys. Remember when the first trailer for Solo, A Star Wars Story, came out?
Yes.
And I was...
You were underwhelmed.
I was less than thrilled.
Yes.
I was a little underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I'll say it, I was concerned because I didn't think that this Alden Ehrenreich, who's playing Han Solo, quite captured the Han Solo that I have come to know and love.
Maybe your favorite from the Star
Maybe
Wars
Maybe my favorite. Yeah, him and Princess Leia. Those two just, oh, I love you. I know. Oh, just so good. But then I saw the second trailer and I was like, all right. I am
Much
in.
Much better, right?
Well done, Disney. I am back in because, first of all, Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian.
Right.
Enough. Yep. I am absolutely in. Well, it comes
Remember
out.
Remember at the time, by the way, you were like, oh, this doesn't look good. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it.
I
Remember
didn't
that?
Say I'm not going to watch it.
You did.
I did
Because I was
not.
Saying it'll come around and you'll totally have to watch it.
Oh, no. I will totally watch it.
Okay.
Even if the second trailer came out and it wasn't as good, I would still be there opening night. However, he will reportedly be back as the character in other upcoming Star Wars movies. He let the cat out of the bag when he confirmed that he has a 3-movie deal with Lucasfilm. Or as he put it, quote, I don't know if that's officially public, but yeah. That is a direct quote.
Love it.
But yeah. Oh, Alden. All right, I am in. Now, this story, I need to preface it with great idea.
Okay.
I see what you're doing.
Valiant effort.
A valiant effort. This is something women need. Women need to feel safe in their homes.
Okay, agreed.
The execution, I question. So, a Japanese company has designed a device to make women feel safer when they're home alone. The Man on the Curtain app uses a smartphone attached to a projector to cast shadows onto a window. Okay, fine. Okay.
So people from the outside think they see a guy in there.
Yes.
Only. Okay.
If I stopped the story there, you'd say, all right, not bad.
Not bad.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
The shadows make it look like a tough male figure is home practicing boxing moves. Or karate. Or swinging a baseball bat.
I mean...
Come on!
Because guys a lot of time work on their swing with a baseball bat in the living room.
Right. And often just sitting there doing karate in front of the window. Oh my God. I was in and I thought, this is a great idea. Anything to make people feel safe in their homes.
Maybe they just took it too far.
But then some dude that's just like, all right, I'm up at bat. Ball three coming in. All right, what's going to happen now? That is insane to me.
Not cool.
Not cool.
And Allie, they robbed this idea from the Home Alone Kevin McAllister kid. He put the fake cardboard cutouts he had on the little train in the living room
to make it
seem like people were moving around.
Yes.
Plus, he had the strings attached to the dancer. This is a Home Alone Japanese ripoff.
How dare you? Dare you steal from Macaulay Culkin?
Right? Why tell all the secrets of what the shadows are going to do? Don't say it's golf. Just say they're just their
shadows.
Don't
say they're shadows.
Right. Don't even
Seems
say
like
shadows.
You don't want to advertise that. Hey, there's no one home, but we're going to try and make it look like there is.
And they're practicing their swing.
It makes no sense.
It's like when there's a terrible crime happening and the reporters, we have an FBI expert here. What are they going to do? Well, this is exactly what's going to happen. The robber is watching this happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not watching TV.
That's maybe not the best idea.
Okay.
Listen, forget I mentioned
it. Okay, all right.
Some birthdays for you. Al Pacino, Jason Lee, Renee Zellweger, Joe Buck, and Hank Azaria. Good Lord, why aren't you watching Brockmire? It's the best. And that's what's happening. No, wait!
It's Kevin.
What?
Apologies.
What?
It is also my friend Jillian Bell's birthday, and I didn't know that until our friend in Murder, Josh Mankiewicz, texted. He's like, it's also Jillian Bell's birthday. So, also Jillian Bell's birthday. Hit it!
Allie, you were doing a story in What's Happening about John Mellencamp.
Yeah, it was about Meg Ryan and him. They have rekindled their love. They're back together. However, he's a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a deal breaker. It's one of those things that she just can't deal with, according to the story.
I can see that.
Yeah. There are deal breakers that you totally understand. But
right.
Then we started discussing maybe some more shallow deal breakers that maybe some of us in this room have either experienced or been the ones to break the deal because they are indeed shallow.
Mm-hmm. And your example was?
Well, my prime example was a guy, we didn't date long. It was like only a month, but I couldn't get over the fact that his thumbs look like big toes. It's like they took his big toe and just transferred it to his thumb. It was just this fat thumb with this like square nail, and we'd hold hands, and I'm like, "Oh, that
don't
thumb
touch
is
me
with touching me right now," and it freaked me out. And it's so stupid, and it's shallow, and I get it. I'm a horrible person. But another guy, my father had told me growing up, do not bring a guy home unless he loves number one, the movie Slapshot.
Okay,
my father's a huge hockey fan. Number two, if he can't recite either Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein. My father's a huge Mel Brooks fan.
A lot of pressure on you to find the right person.
Yeah. A lot of pressure. So one of my first boyfriends that was going to travel and meet my family, I said, listen, we're just going to watch some movies. Just want you to get to know them. We didn't get through Slapshot. And he was like, this is so dumb. This is so dumb. What are they even doing? I was like, this movie is a goddamn treasure and you need to be gone. And it literally
that
made,
was it, for
it
you?
Was like a, just a little snap. Like, no, this will never work out. You don't like Slapshot. What is wrong with you?
I mean, I feel like if everything else was right, maybe these things wouldn't bother you so much.
A lot of people think I am commitment phobic, and maybe I sabotage relationships.
It's possible in that the guy just had a janky thumb.
Yes,
he could have had a heart of gold and
he
a
had
great
a
personality.
Toe finger,
right?
Let's not say it was a janky thumb. It was a straight up toe on his digits,
and that's a very important finger in a relationship.
I have said it for years. What? Wait.
Isn't it?
Is it an important?
I believe.
I feel like they all probably.
I feel like that. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, like. Ooh, sure.
I don't like the hand motion you're doing right now, Stryker.
That was a shocker.
Just being real here, the thumb is important. Of the 10, the 2 are there.
Right.
They're in first place, followed by the other 2.
Then maybe I should have been into it because they were a little bit bigger.
There you go.
Listen, this took a turn.
And it wasn't supposed to.
It wasn't supposed to. Right. We're talking about shallow breakup.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
The smallest deal breaker, the most shallow deal breaker that you have had. The number's 1-800-520-1067. You can call or text that number if you have a story like this. Stryker, of course, who we have learned has extreme OCD, has a list.
Oh. It's a small list, and I'll go through kind of fast.
Okay.
These are deal breakers. I'm not saying I've broken up with people over this, because normally I'm not the one breaking up. They have broken up with me. But number one, doesn't like chimpanzees.
What?
I love chimpanzees in overalls and striped shirts, and if a girl wasn't into it, I'm like, you're done.
Hold on a second.
Do we? I mean, everyone, we're going to tell him to hold on.
How's that number one? She doesn't like chimpanzees.
What movie was that he wore the overalls?
All chimpanzees wore overalls. That's the go-to look, and the striped shirts.
But that's a deal breaker?
100%.
All right, that's number one. Number 100%.
Two. And by the way, I am a firm believer in relationships that both couples do not need to like everything in life. Just because I like the Lakers chimpanzees. Doesn't mean you have to. But chimpanzees, yes. Yeah, that,
you do have to both like.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's small. That's a small thing.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't like.
It's a ridiculous thing.
Doesn't like Larry David or Seinfeld.
Well, that's just very upset. That's,
I mean,
crazy.
That does tell your sense of humor. Mm-hmm. At least that's not chimpanzees.
Some of these are more serious. Smokes, a deal breaker
sure.
if you are a smoker.
Okay.
Is against eating meals in the bed. If she said, I don't eat meals in bed.
I feel like most people are against eating meals in the bed. No?
Allie?
Like, we're talking full-blown meals, like a steak dinner or just like a sandwich. Well, no, that's different. Like, I'll eat a submarine sandwich in bed as opposed to, like, turkey and stuffing.
Okay.
That's where I draw the line.
Right.
So any food in bed, Stryker?
Any food in bed.
Huh.
A steak dinner, a submarine sandwich, shrimp cocktail, whatever it is.
Do you have a TV tray?
No, I do own one, but I don't use it often. I use a beach towel to cover my chest so I don't spill on the covers.
Okay.
All right. Someone who prefers hotel rooms on lower floors over higher floors. Done.
Why?
I like to be higher up in a hotel. You can see better when you're sitting there in the bed or watching TV.
That's a deal breaker with a couple?
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
You're so lucky you found Katie.
Yeah, I'm so lucky.
Unbelievable.
Here's something that Katie, thank God, does not do. I hate heavy feet walkers. Heavy walkers indoors. Stomping around the house.
Sure.
I like people a little lighter on the feet. Loud talkers. When you're, like, just talking at a restaurant, you're being private, and they're screaming about their business to you.
Oh, guy on Jeopardy last night. Woo!
Loud talker?
He would answer everything in a yell, and he won, so he's the returning champ tonight, and I am pissed. So I don't
That's a different kind of relationship.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Ordering hot food at the movie theater, specifically the hot dog. Those things have been on the rollers for so long. Get Junior Mints, get Red Vines,
but they're not making you eat it.
Well, I don't like the smell because it stinks up the breath. The whole area smells like an old wiener.
Okay.
All right.
You are insane.
Last on here, and this is such a pet peeve in everything in life. I hate when people go to the mall and they don't know how to use the parking kiosk and pay first. So they're sitting there trying to get out, and they're like, what do I do with my ticket?
Agreed.
Deal breaker right there. Okay. And those are just some of my deal breakers.
By the way, you guys, just to recap, he led with the chimpanzee in overalls.
Right?
That was his number one deal breaker.
If you don't like chimpanzees, we can't date. All right, let's take one phone call before we move on, and it's going to be Celine. Is that how you say it?
Colleen,
my bad. So what happened?
So I was in the beginning of a relationship. He was actually a coworker, and we were at my house. We were about to have sex, and he said he had to pee, and I was like, sure. So he goes, but I can see from the bed to the bathroom, and he sat down to pee.
Okay. And that was it?
I said, that's it. I'm up. I'm out. Clothes on. You need a man that has more testosterone than I do.
But Colleen,
he's just down to pee.
Maybe he thought it was. This is gross. Maybe he thought more was happening.
Maybe he was afraid.
He was naked.
Was it your place?
It was my place.
No,
he was completely naked, and the bathroom door was open.
No, I don't mean more was happening with you. I think maybe he sat down because he thought more was going to happen in the restroom. I'm talking about poo, Colleen.
All right, Colleen, let me...
No, because the door was open.
All right. So let me ask you this question.
I don't love it.
What if he was sitting down? What if he was sitting down to not make a mess in your house? There's no splashing.
So he's a bad peer?
Yes. What if he's just a bad peer?
Colleen.
No, girl, no.
No, okay. I agree. If a dude's sitting down to tinkle and he knows I can see, that means he's like, he's into that. That's weird. That is weird.
Okay, take it easy, Colleen.
Agreed. Show me that backside.
Right?
No, right.
Thank you, Colleen. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls or text now. Just before AFI, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Natalie. We're talking about ridiculously insignificant things that are deal breakers. Natalie, hi.
Hi. So, I might sound like a jerk, but believe me, there's reasons
okay.
for this. I don't like it when men sweat. And I recently dated a guy who legit does not sweat, and it ruined me. Now I put a guy in a position of, like, I'll try to talk him into going for, I don't know, a run, a walk, a yoga class to test if they sweat and especially if they smell.
Wow.
And so if they do, when you put them to the test, if there's a little driblet of water coming down, then that's the deal breaker, you're saying.
You know that most people, if they exercise, sweat. It's part of life.
I think if you don't, I think that's cause for concern.
She said no.
She said nope. Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
All right.
I don't sweat. It exists. There are men that don't sweat. So they exist for me.
All right. Good luck with that.
Start the website, don'tsweat.com. Get signed up and meet your lover today.
1-800-520-1067. We're talking about the most insignificant deal breakers. Allie's was thumbs.
Not thumbs.
Thumbs that weren't thumbs.
They were straight up big toes masquerading as thumbs.
One of Stryker's was chimpanzees. We have to have an appreciation of chimpanzees, which is odd. Let's go to Justin in Pasadena. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
So, first date, take her out to a Chinese food restaurant.
Chinese food restaurant, yes?
No!
Are you still there?
Oh, he's gone.
She was a messy eater and spilled food on the table.
And that was it.
Hmm.
That was a deal breaker for him.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Rachel in Monterey Park. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, guys. So I was going out with this guy who was great on paper, got along well, but every time he laughed, he snorted. And I tried to look past it. You know, the last time we went out, I tried not to make any jokes, tried to not be funny. And
you literally tried to make it so that he wouldn't laugh.
Yes, because the snorting just drove me nuts. And then, but he had invited me out with his friends, and we were drinking. And then even them, they were saying, like, oh, here comes the snorting. And after that, I had to, like,
that's it. I'm gone.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rachel, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Glenn in Agora. Hi, Glenn.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Ridiculous deal breakers. What's yours?
If she drives a Prius, I'm gone.
If she drives a Prius...
Now, Stryker, stick up for your car.
Right?
Now, I had a Prius for years. I have a Toyota RAV4
so
now.
So you can't
hybrid.
Get Glenn.
Here's the thing. When people talk bad about Priuses, is it because it is people think you're stuck up because you have that? I look at it as such an economical choice. You're saving so much money driving
this car. I don't think it's the actual car. I think it's the drivers that can't drive for S. Y'all go so goddamn slow. You can go the speed limit, but you're like, I'm in a Prius. I better go super slow.
No, Allie.
Okay, hold
Glenn,
on.
Glenn, are you with me, Glenn?
Glenn, which side do you fall on?
I'm here.
Yeah, which one is it? Is it their attitude? Their driving?
It's just the Prius. I don't care if it's any other hybrid. It's just something about Prius and Prius drivers.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Interesting.
All right.
You know, I caught some S from people. Mm-hmm. Oh, you drive a Prius. I hate that. Well, do you want me in like a Rolls Royce instead? Would that make me look? I felt like I just like a little low-key thing driving around.
Yeah,
I love
I'd
RAV4.
Rather be in a Rolls
And shout
Royce.
Out to Hamer Toyota out there in Mission Hills ruling the valley.
Let's go to Catherine in Long Beach. Hi, Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hi. Ridiculous deal breakers. What's yours?
Well, first I want to say for the Prius drivers, it's the drivers. They suck.
Okay.
Agreed,
all right.
Catherine.
Deal breaker, I was dated a guy for about 2 weeks, and we sat down on my couch to watch a movie, and he takes off his shoes, and he didn't have matching socks on.
But, like, cute socks? Like, one was polka dot, one was striped?
No, it was, like, one was, like, a dingy, gross sock.
I'm out.
I was like, all I could do was stare at that sock.
Catherine, don't let anyone tell you that's shallow. You are correct. Yeah, you did the right thing.
I wonder what else is wrong with this guy's life.
What else is dingy, right?
I don't think that's what she's saying. No. Okay. Thank you, Catherine. Let's go to Omar in Huntington Beach. Hi, Omar.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Your deal breakers?
Let me preface this by saying that I ain't no English major, but okay. When somebody doesn't know how to use the words your, or there, and there, or even seen and saw, when they don't understand the difference between all those words, that just makes me cringe. I do not like seeing that in emails or text communications.
Or text communications.
Omar, I'm not going to lie. Absolutely.
I mean,
it instantly
Omar,
just makes me go,
ugh. Omar and Allie, I'm not your guy then. I'm sorry. I have problems.
People that say, I seen you yesterday. God damn it, you saw me. You didn't seen me? How dare you? Omar, I agree.
Yeah, I just cringed.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Desiree in Los Angeles. Hi, Desiree.
Hey there.
Your deal breaker.
Green jeans.
Green?
Wait, what?
Did you say green jeans?
Yes. A friend tried to hook me up with her cousin, showed me pictures. He was really cute. We talked on the phone for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. When we finally agreed and had the right time to meet in person, I started from the top, looked at his face. He's hot. His shirt, all right. Looked down, he was wearing green jeans. I was done.
Okay, wait. So you didn't talk to him or see what he was about? You just, when you saw the green jeans, you were out?
Kind of. I showed up with a girlfriend and, you know, he was walking towards us. We were walking towards him and I was like, he's wearing green jeans. Why did he decide to wear green jeans? He's wearing green jeans. And she was like, shut up. You're being a jerk. You're being a jerk. Shut up. And I was like, I can't. He has green jeans on. Like, why would he decide to wear green jeans? He's got a blue shirt. Like, what is that?
Desiree, can I ask you a question and just be completely honest?
Sure.
Did you have a bad Captain Kangaroo experience? A little bit?
No.
A little bit, though?
No. No, I didn't, but I just couldn't get over the green jeans, and they were dark, and they were... No, I just...
She
I
can't stop discussing.
She can't. Wow, this is crazy.
I couldn't. I'm still not over it. My friends still bring it up. Like, you really stop talking about it because he had green jeans, and he was really cute, but he decides to wear green jeans, what other decisions is he going to make?
Nick Hexum from 311 is next. Right now it is 8:51. Allie McKay is here. What's happening?
Well, if you're into a 4-mile outdoor competitive survival experience inspired by wild encounters and well-honed skills of the ultimate survival authority, Bear Grylls, do I have a prize pack for you? It is all happening this weekend, and if you are caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you're going to get a Bear Grylls Survival Challenge prize pack for you and a guest. You are going to get VIP tickets for the Survival Challenge this weekend, as well as a hat, a t-shirt, and a cinch pack. We haven't looked into it, but a cinch pack is a fanny pack, right?
All right. Not in England.
Not in England. That would be a bum pack, right?
Yes.
Is what it would be.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Ask someone British what fanny is. It is not the same here.
I think you told me what a fanny was.
It's your front part.
Oh, the front
on
part.
On a lady.
On a lady. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So Sarah Tiana had a whole thing about how.
Down here, down there.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
No, you're showing. Okay,
yes,
oh,
I was
down there.
You.
Okay, uh-huh. Got it.
Oh, I thought he was showing you how to use a microphone.
No,
like, what's happening?
Am I not on? Kevin was walking over to show me where
I mean,
the lady parts.
He
go.
Seemed
oh,
to be having
helpful.
A problem with it,
okay.
So I'm just trying to help.
Sarah Tiana had a whole joke about how when you fly into England and you go up to the passport authority and they say, you know, how long are you staying, that type of thing, and she goes, "Hold on, let me reach down into my fanny pack and grab something," and they were like, "I'm sorry, what?" You don't say, let me reach into my fanny in England, because what are you keeping in your fanny?
That's right.
Get in my vagina.
That's what I'm saying. That is indeed what I'm saying. Anywho, you're going to get a cinch pack. We don't know what it is.
Okay.
Hey, you guys. This shouldn't have made me laugh this hard. But I was thinking about maybe a dude or a lady married, having a great life. And then they realized that Match.com had accidentally reactivated your account.
Oh, no.
From a decade ago.
Wow.
So you find out, oh, my husband that I love so very much is active on Match.com. No, I shut that down. Sure you did. It's right there. Active one day ago.
Right.
What? Why is Match.com trying to ruin people's lives?
That is a bad situation right
yes.
there.
That is not
because
good.
There's you'll try to defend yourself and it looks awful. It looks terrible.
That can't be good. It really can't be good. And it shouldn't have made me laugh. It really did. It really did. Speaking about couples, remember the whole Derek Fisher, Matt Barnes situation?
Yeah, that was sort of weird.
Derek started dating Matt Barnes' ex-wife, Glory Govan, and then he was going to beat him up, and I'm driving to you, and it was just bizarre.
He drove to him from very far away from what
it's
I can
across
remember.
The country, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or up to, like, Santa Barbara or
Internet
something.
Internet was very, very fun that day.
It was madness.
And he not only got there, he went in the house and, I believe, got into a fight with Derek Fisher.
I don't remember it. I just remember thinking, this is insane. And I kind of want to hear more. Well, apparently they've all put that behind them because former Laker and coach Derek Fisher is headed to the altar once again. He proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Glory Govan, with a huge diamond ring. She happily accepted. They're gonna make it work, you guys. That is great news. Great.
I like the other story better.
Yeah,
it's just more entertaining.
Like literal Twitter threats about I'm going to drive to you and like beat you up
because
you're dating my ex.
You could follow it along in real time.
Yes.
That was really good.
Unbelievable. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but Meek Mill is a free man. And if you hadn't been following the case, you would think, oh, what's...
No! Okay. Sorry.
What does Christian Bale think of Meek Mill being free?
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Very weird.
Allie, Meek Mill, is he a great rapper? Because I don't know if he's great rapper. He's respected, but is he like a uber high-selling multi-platinum
I don't
guy?
Think so, no.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Come on. What do I look like? A Meek Millologist?
A little bit.
Little bit?
Is that
thank
a thing?
You. Yeah. I don't know. It should be. But if you weren't following along with it, it was the most bizarre thing. He was arrested, thrown in jail on gun and drug possession charges back in 2008. By all means, had turned his life around. Everything was going great for him until, you know, almost like less than a decade later, he was on a video music set and he popped a wheelie. And then they're like, that is reckless driving. That is a violation of your parole. Went in, and the judge wound up sentencing him to 4 years.
That's baloney.
It wound up being all sorts of baloney, because then it was the arresting officer. Did he have a shady background? Was there a vendetta against him? Then did the judge want him to leave his management at Roc Nation and then join someone else and get a shout out from Boys to Men?
Another super weird story.
All just bizarre. But he essentially had a ton of people behind him, from the co-owner of the 76ers to Robert Kraft of the Patriots to
people like Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, yeah. Hart, very funny little dude.
Kevin Hart.
Thank you. Kevin Hart, visiting him in jail. Like, we've got to figure this out because he's being used as this, like, example. And what kind of example was it? It was madness. Anywho, he's a free man. And a great thing, when you're a free man, you get a helicopter ride to the 76ers game. You don't, but that's what happened for Meek Mill.
That's the way to get out of prison.
Yes, straight from prison. You're all cramped in, straight to the arena.
Hey, everybody, I just want you to know, I want you to watch me walk out.
Yes.
You're going to be impressed.
Yes. By the way, he's put out 3 full-length albums. The first one, which came out in 2012, debuted at number 2. His second one debuted at number 1. His most recent one, which came out in 2017, debuted at number 3. So he's definitely successful.
Was he the one that was Twitter beefing with Drake?
That is correct, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone Twitter beefs with Drake.
Why? Drake is a nice Canadian young man.
Yeah, then he'll just wear a shirt of some team, and then the next week it's another team. We get it, Drake.
He does like the Raptors.
He likes every team that's winning. He's a big old kiss ass. Just saying, you guys. I have Drake issues.
You do.
Life is Beautiful Festival returns to downtown Las Vegas this fall. Arcade Fire, Florence and the Machine, The Weeknd. Those are the headliners September 21st through the 23rd. But you've got NERD, St. Vincent, The Neighborhood, Def Cab for Cutie. It is going to be an amazing, amazing weekend of music. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. And we have mentioned, we mentioned earlier, maybe getting a suite, to which Kevin said, yeah, or just bring our janky van and sit in that. And I thought, wow, aim higher. So we need to figure this out. We need to be live from there, right?
We're going to get the Rain Man suite, number one. Kevin and I are going to get matching suits. Mm-hmm. We're going to play blackjack.
Okay.
Allie, maybe you can have the suit as well.
I mean, you kind of left me
out. We bring listeners. I'm sure Promotions is listening going, what the hell are you guys doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if we get this condo, the house in Coachella, right? Why not what do we do in Vegas with even more of the K-Rock artists there?
Yeah.
Agreed.
And by Rain Man suite, you mean from the movie?
Yes, like
okay,
the good
I wasn't
one.
Sure if there was like a Rain Man suite.
I just mean, when I say Rain Man suite, okay. It can be any hotel, but it's the mm-hmm. biggest room they have.
Sure.
Lots of windows. There's a bed. It's comfort. There's a bar in there.
And then they used to play blackjack, and he was a counter.
Yeah, that's right. We're counting cards.
What else happens in a Rain Man suite? Do you make it rain? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's sprinkle.
What? With the... and the.
Yeah.
That took a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nick Hexum is here. Why are we still talking?
Right.
Right? Some birthdays for you. Actors Al Pacino, Jason Lee, Renee Zellweger, Hank Azaria, Joe Buck, Kevin's BFF, and the lovely, the talented Jillian Mother Effin' Bell. Happy birthday, Jillian. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:05. That's 3:11, and Nick Hexum is in the studio with us. Come
Yay!
On, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
You put the headphones on, you heard your song, you took the headphones off.
Well, it was just rocking me so hard.
Is that what it was?
This guy's rip.
You did mention that sometimes you like to sort of be picky about your performances. Does that happen?
Well, that's like 20 years ago.
Right.
So, our techniques develop over time. And so I might go, I maybe rushed that syllable a little bit or pick it apart just a little. But, I take it all with a grain of salt because music is an ever-evolving thing.
It is. You just celebrated 311 in Vegas.
311 Day in Vegas.
Yes.
We did. We played.
Tell us about that.
86 or 87 songs over two nights.
Oh, my gosh.
And
to a huge audience over those 2 days. I'm going to brag for Nick. People from all over the world flew into Vegas that have been following this band for so, so many years. And the passion for the band is incredible. And how many people were at each show, Nick?
We did kind of an underplay where it was only like 6,000 people because we just wanted it to be like the most hardcore of them all and make it a tough ticket to get. But yeah, people come from all over the world. It's like our convention where people might know each other online and then they get together and it's a community. It's really cool to be a part of. But it was also fun to be able to pull out all the stops production-wise, like this massive... this state-of-the-art theater that was a huge 4K video wall that took up the entire stadium practically.
And all your profits.
And we had pyro and just went crazy. And it was a lot of fun. And we did Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd.
I was going to ask you what the covers were.
Yeah. We did a video montage of people that we've lost, like Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell and different artists that... We've lost. So it was like a really emotional moment. There's also a couple people in our fan base that were very active that they had a lot of friends there that we'd lost. So it was like a real tear jerking moment. But, there was also super high points and like crazy long drum solo. And I covered, this song, Remember Me from the movie Coco, which is a song I sing to my kids.
Oh, wow. I'm going to cry right now thinking of that song. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the perfect song for an artist that has to travel and be away from their loved ones. And
did you tear up?
Like, a little.
Oh, I hear you. I'm tearing up just thinking of this song. Good Lord.
It already happened. It's not happening.
Okay, all right. It's good. You okay, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about Back to the Beach. You guys are, of course, headlining it.
Yeah, what a epic lineup Feldy from Goldfinger and Travis put together. I mean, Boss Tones and Fishbone and
Sublime with Rome, Save Ferris.
Yeah, and Untouchables. I mean, this is like the classics, the ultimate kind of beach lineup. So I've been inundated with requests for guest list spots because this is the show.
When Feldy and Travis came on and they were kind of naming some of the groups and I was like, wait, Fishbone? They're like, yeah, whole original lineup.
Just
I'm like, I'm sorry,
lineup.
What? That was enough for me. And then they're like, and Hepcats. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Untouchables.
So good. Well,
it is insane. But also what they've done with this that is so great is they're making it this huge family event too, where you can bring your kids. You can have a great time if it's your kid's first concert. I mean, what better place than Huntington Beach on the beach seeing these legends in front of you? It's going to be two full days of an extremely good time.
Yeah, the setting to have to be right there on the beach, that's a huge part of it. Like when the sun's setting and the music's grooving, I mean, that's like something to remember.
I feel like that was a pretty quick yes from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
And well, also the fact that we're in the middle of making an album with Feldy.
Like, another album with Feldy?
Yeah. New one, yeah.
Wow. So the last 311 album, Mosaic.
No,
yeah, he pressured you, is what we're saying. Yeah.
The last album from 311, Mosaic, John Feldman co-wrote and produced many of those songs, and I guess the relationship went great.
Yeah.
And now you're doing more songs with
Were you
guy.
Saying on the Goldfinger album too, right?
Yes.
You did.
I did. That's correct. You know, did his homework. But yeah, we really clicked, and he
sorry, that was shocking for all of us. We needed to take a beat.
How dare you? How dare you all, including you, Nick. Yeah.
He's a professional. But yeah, we really click with Feldy. He has just a great way of understanding the soul of 311 and also just bringing in new influences and modern production techniques. And he's a trip. He's such a high energy person, fueled up on so much espresso, and it's just like after I get done with a recording session from him, it takes like 2 hours to like unwind because it's just so intense. So
he came in with Travis and he was just that way. He was wired and talking and excited, and Travis, who's really soft spoken, was just sitting there, still like, there. You handle it.
Travis is like, I'll also reunite with the Aquabats, and he's like, isn't that great, you guys, with the Aquabats? We're like, whoa, holy crap.
And Feldman knows the history of every band that's been created.
Oh yeah.
Oh, in 1977 at the corner of Fairfax and Santa Monica Boulevard. Yeah. Oh, I saw Rage Against the Machine when they were 2 years old there. And then
he's
I followed Tom Morello.
Yeah,
he's the best.
They got together when they were two?
I think so,
it's shocking.
Yes.
It is shocking.
Tom Morello came from Chicago at 2 years old here on his own. Hitchhiking, too.
A lot of toddlers just crossing the country.
The festival is Back to the Beach. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at Huntington State Beach. Nick Hexum from 311 is here. We'll come right back. Too Much to Think on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That is 311. We have Nick Hexum in the studio with us. We're also on Facebook Live. If you'd like to watch the video, you can do that as well. Let's talk about Shaquille O'Neal. First of all, let Stryker tell the story of Weenie Roast.
All right. Weenie Roast back in 2001, 311 is playing, and they're doing their set. Earlier in the day, many of us saw a helicopter. I'm like, is there a Lakers logo on that helicopter? So Nick and his band, they're in the middle of their set. And who comes out but Shaquille O'Neal to play with you guys? And it was incredible. He was stage diving and mosh pitting. But fill us in on the things that we really don't know that day.
Well, yeah, that was the culmination. I gotta rewind a little bit and tell the whole Shaq story. So the way it started is that he was doing a rap album, and our mutual friend Brian Ling was working at the record label that was doing his rap album, and he was like, I want to do a rock song. And Brian was like, I got just the guys to do it. And so we recorded this song called Psycho, which was like this heavy rap rock song. And then we were like, so do you think maybe he'd want to be in our video? We're getting ready to shoot a video for the song You Wouldn't Believe. And it was like, he's going to try. He's going to try and make it. So we're down there at the Queen Mary. They've got that big dome there. We're shooting the video inside there. And we only have it for a few hours. And we're like, we got to get him a helicopter or something because he's up in the valley and we're down here in Long Beach and it's 5 o'clock. And they were like, don't worry. He's got it. He's got it. So he shows up in this huge red SUV with a giant Superman logo on it.
And we're like,
how did you get here so fast? He was like, I just put the siren on the top.
No.
And everybody moves out of the way.
I love it.
We're like, what if an actual police, he's like, I'm Shaquille O'Neal. I'm in the middle of the playoffs. They're not gonna
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then part of the premise was we were gonna shoot around, play some basketball with him. And so he's putting on his shoes and he realizes that he brought two left shoes. So you'll never see his feet in the video. And he said, if you ever tell anyone about this, I will sue you.
All right.
So lawsuit coming right now.
It's been 16 years.
Yeah, statute of limitations is up.
We never signed an NDA. I was like, sue us for what?
So he wore the left shoe on his right foot?
Yeah.
That seems impossible.
I mean, there's like size 21. So they're like, so big, I guess you
can
do that.
Amazing.
But and then we played some basketball with him, and he also said, this has to be a secret, the timing of this, because we're in the middle of the playoffs right now. If the coach knew I was playing basketball with a rock band,
I
right
can see
now,
that
lose it.
You could twist an ankle and just blow the whole thing. So anyway, that was an awesome experience. And then we're doing Weenie Roast, and he shows up in a helicopter. And he comes out, and we had just won the whole title. I think this was their third title.
The Lakers, yes.
The Lakers had won, and the place, when I announced him, the place went crazy. He had this like sweatshirt. He was like, tear off my sweatshirt as soon as we start. Grab the collar and just rip it off his body. And he's wearing just these overalls, and we rip into the song Psycho we had done together. The place goes completely crazy. He dives into the crowd, smashes his face. He's got a mouthful of blood.
Yes.
I mean, it was just like complete mayhem.
Imagine you're in the pit and you see Shaq diving at you.
I am getting out of the way.
Right? I'm not going to even try to catch him.
Yeah. And then afterwards he was like, I want to thank you guys for making my rock and roll dreams come true.
Aww.
And it was like, is that your Shaq impression?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's just a low voice. And then he was like, okay, I'm done. And he flies away in his helicopter while Aaron from Stained is sitting there doing a delicate acoustic song.
Yes.
And it's like,
I didn't know if you had seen that or not, what was going on stage while Shaq was hovering over the crowd saying goodbye. And you couldn't hear a word of what Aaron Lewis was doing.
And that was Aaron Lewis's kind of big moment in the set where he tells his bandmates pretty much to leave the stage because I'm going to do this song acoustic now. Right. Yeah. And right then, as Nick just said, perfect, the helicopter hovers above Verizon Wireless.
Do you think his bandmates were like, serves you right, dick?
Yeah. There's your moment.
You were mentioning earlier that you're working on new music. Is that anything you can talk about?
Yeah,
you said you're working with Feldy.
We're kind of in the middle of a big creative outpouring, so we're hoping to be able to follow up Mosaic, which was last year's album, with an album later this year. We have a bunch of great songs, and we're cranking away. Even though we got to stop to go and play 420 at Red Rocks last week, and we've got this show this weekend, but We're just, morale is really high and we've got a bunch of ideas we want to pursue. So we're going to do it. We feel like we've got some momentum and we're hoping to have a next album out this year.
How does that work as far as writing songs? Do you bring them? Does everybody bring them? They all work on it? How do you guys work?
Mix it up a lot. I mean, a song like Amber was just like a singular vision of just like me by myself. But then more and more it becomes more of a collaborative thing where you just get exposed to new people. We've made a lot of friends that are musicians. Like this guy, Gabe, was a guitar teacher of mine, and we started kicking around ideas, and he wrote a couple songs with me on the last album. And then also the band members, Peanut is a great lyricist, so he's been, even though I try and keep him away from the mic, but when it comes to the words,
it doesn't always work.
He's a great lyricist. So as time goes on, it becomes more and more collaborative, and that's just a way to keep it fresh.
And it's I think it's very cool when you think of 311. The years have gone by. You guys have been successful for a long time, and there have been very few bands over all these years that are as successful as 311, but in addition, the exact same lineup of guys. Mm-hmm. No one's been kicked out. It doesn't seem like there's been fighting enough or like, I'm going to do this, you go do that. Guys have kind of done, at times, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to dip my toes into that, but you guys have really stuck together, and the secret is what?
Weed.
There's a couple of secrets.
Shout out, peanuts.
There's three secrets. First, we do rock, paper, scissors to
settle disputes. Is that right? That's how you settle disputes.
Yes, the cannabis is, you know, diffuses any sort of anger or tension.
Right.
Seriously, though, we really just realized that we've stumbled on a great chemistry. We're better together than we would be apart. And, you know, we take care of it and communicate. But recently it was pointed out that we're among the top five longest running bands of original members. Like Radiohead and U2 have been going longer than us with original members.
And that's it?
Almost. Like De La Soul is ahead of us. But we're like in the top five. So that's pretty cool.
And that you guys started in high school, right?
Yeah, well, a couple of us met in high school, and then right after high school is when the lineup was formed. That was 1990, so we're in 28 years
That's
now.
That's crazy.
You look about 28. Like, I want to beat you up, Nick. I just want to beat you up. I want to take all your cells. I want to inject them into my body and just kind of be like a
What's
Nick.
What's happening right here?
Just got creepy.
What just happened? No, I'm just trying to give the man some props that he's looking great. Right. Rock and roll, keeping him young.
It's a great preservative.
Yes.
311.
No stress.
311 is headlining Saturday, Back to the Beach. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at Huntington State Beach in Southern California. There's kids under 10 are free with paid adult admission to the Little Punk Kid Zone, full of carnival games, bounce houses and castles, and a whole lot more. So it's a weekend for the entire family. And you can buy tickets there now available at backtothebeachfest.com. Nick, you're the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
We always appreciate you spending your time with us at K-Rock, and we appreciate you coming in today.
Oh, you guys have been great to us. It's been a long, illustrious relationship, K-Rock and 311. So thank you for the support. You guys were the first radio station to play us. So thanks.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Time for one last look at what's happening with Ally McKay.
Were you guys excited for Netflix's new Lost in Space series?
Yes.
Did you get to watch any of it?
No.
Well, you should.
Okay.
Because apparently it's a huge hit. Tons of people watch. Now, here's the interesting thing. Usually we don't find out Netflix numbers. It's a kind of a guarded secret. But we now know that the sci-fi reboot drew 6.3 million U.S. viewers within the first 3 days of being released.
Wow.
And the figures also suggest that viewers, on average, watched the show for 2.5 hours. And it was heavily binged. Almost 1.2 million saw all of the episodes during one sitting. So that's pretty interesting.
Wow.
And then I thought, well, how do they even rank that? How do they figure out? Because, again, Netflix is super, super protective of stuff. And here's what I found out. Nielsen measures Netflix viewership. They only track the U.S. audience via its streaming video on demand content rating method, which scans the audio signal of Nielsen Households' digital stream to determine what people are watching.
Okay.
So they're getting the audio of the digital. Like, if people are watching it, they are picking up that audio.
So they can tell what it is.
And then they can figure it out.
But, all right.
I mean, think of all the non-Nielsen houses that we're watching. So those numbers are...
I think Nielsen does a great job with ratings.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Should I as well?
Yes, you should.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
What?
Alden Ehrenreich. He is, of course, going to be playing young Hans in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Comes out May 25th. And he will reportedly be back as the character in other upcoming Star Wars movies. He let the cat out of the bag when he confirmed that he has a 3-movie deal with Lucasfilm. Or as he put it, quote, I don't know if that's officially public, but yeah, that is a direct quote, and
yeah.
I love it. But yeah, that is a good time. Did you guys by chance see the new Carpool Karaoke?
No. Someone, I think I read, someone jumped in someone's car.
It's Christina Aguilera.
Okay.
And so her and James are chit-chatting, and he asks her about Mickey Mouse Club, all of that. Was Ryan Gosling the guy? Because she was on with Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling. Was everyone in love with Ryan Gosling? And Christina straight up was like, everyone loved Justin. Justin had swag back then.
No kidding.
And she let it drop that Ryan Gosling had a crush on Britney, but Britney only had eyes for Justin. And then they did some songs, and then they were doing Dirty, and out of nowhere, Melissa McCarthy pops up
there.
And That's starts awesome. Doing Redman's Rap.
That's awesome.
And they were like, wait, where'd you come from? She's like, oh, I've been laying back here the whole ride, just waiting for this moment. So it's worth a watch. You know how I feel about carpool karaoke.
I don't know.
Oh, I it's awesome. Love it. Yeah. Adele, the best ever, first of all. That's it.
Remember the Red Hot Chili Peppers when they had a wrestling match in the front yard of a...
They pulled over and had a little wrestling match on the lawn.
That's weird.
Really weird stuff happens.
Yeah.
Good times. Real good times, guys. Are you guys sad about Virgin Atlantic?
I don't know what to be sad
about.
Is
that the restaurant in Valencia?
It's an airline.
Oh, the airline. Okay. No, what's happening with them?
What is this Virgin Atlantic restaurant you're going to?
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Let's tackle that.
It cost 75 roses. It was pretty good. What?
What's happening with the airline?
I'm not sure. Yesterday was its last day. They were bought out by Alaska Airlines, so they're kind of morphing into a new thing. And people were tweeting, like, goodbye. You were my favorite airline. I see you all the time. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would usually make fun of those people.
You should.
I love Virgin Atlantic.
Loved.
Unlike any other airline I had ever flown in my life.
Why?
It was the first airline that had, you know, on the back of the seat, that's where you would order the food, that's where you would order the drink. There was no cart coming down the middle. And I'm not going to lie, they had a hummus plate that was just delightful.
That you ordered from your seat?
And then they bring it to you.
So hold on, you're touching the chair, the which has more germs than the keyboard in the K-Rock studio. And then you're dipping hummus and eating. So you're basically eating this every person that's flown in your chair.
Listen, I'm not saying that I'm then licking the screen. I am just ordering.
Did you, in fact, lick the screen?
I did, a little bit,
You weren't saying that.
And the mood lighting in there, it was like this pink glow in the flight. And then when you'd get up and you'd use the restroom, they always had waters and you could just grab your own. It was just lovely. I'm just real sad, real sad.
All right.
I'm going to bring you some hummus tomorrow.
Oh, I love me some hummus.
I'll bring you hummus.
But they had, it was like a hummus and cheese plate with some grapes as well. And I would give the cheese to my seatmate because no one wants me eating cheese on an airline. That's a real captive audience for my lactose intolerance, if you know what I'm saying. Anywho, it was a great, great hummus plate. How's everyone?
Good.
Good? We on the air?
Why do some people tune out?
And a documentary is in the works about disgraced boy band guru Lou Pearlman. Remember him?
He's Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, O-Town. Lance Bass is the executive producer on the film. That guy, wow, was he just a mess. Stole money from them. There was talk about some real creepy stuff as well.
Yeah, wound there's all kinds prison. Of stories about him.
Yeah, felony convictions, fraud. He died behind bars in 2016. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the behind the scenes, how he convinced all these parents basically to sign over their kids. And so many of them have no money to show for all of the records that they sold.
Which is crazy because that's a tremendous amount of money.
Insane. Absolutely. All right, some birthdays for you. Jillian Bell, Joe Buck, Hank Azaria, Renee Zellweger, Jason Lee, and Al Pacino. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, the SoCal Helpful. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, horrible things you did as a kid, which turns out I have a story or two. And also, like we do on Thursdays, we're going to check in with Dr. Drew.